Hi, my name's Damien Rowland. I'm one of the paediatric emergency medicine consultants here in Leicester, and I've got one of my colleagues, Dr. Gareth Lewis, with me today. And we're going to be talking about something called ED board bingo. What we mean by that is that every day we have a computer screen which we look at and we see the patients that we're going to see over the next couple of hours. One of the things that Gareth and I have noticed over time is there's some pretty impressive problems that have come up on our problem list, whether that's EDIS or Symphony or whatever computer system you use in your department, that actually do bear sometimes no resemblance to actually what the child has. We're not going to be talking about triage categories here, so if the kid looks really unwell, they get seen instantly. What we're going to be talking about is a little bits and pieces that come up on that computer screen that as a paediatric emergency clinician, you just want to be aware of, and some of the little funnies that have happened over time that keep us entertained and get us to the end of our shift. So the first thing that becomes quite apparent as you're doing an emergency career is the red flag. We're also going to be talking about some conditions where you can do quite early interventions, the ones where there's just not enough information and you really do need to find out a bit more, and then some very unclear and weird coding that we've experienced. So the first thing we're going to talk about is red flags. So Gareth, when you think about a red flag coding, what does that mean to you? What are you looking out for?
Well, it's amazing really how over time you develop a knack for picking out what the presenting complaints they've come in with potentially could mean. And I guess from experience as a PGD doctor, you do become a little bit age dependent, to say the least, but certainly one of the biggest red flags, rather unsurprisingly, would be just the simple word fever. So if I'm looking at a screen and I see fever, my next question immediately is, how old are they? And if I click and I see that the child is under 3 months, I'm immediately interested. And if I'm in a coordinator role that shift, I want to be pretty sure that somebody's tasked with seeing them quicker, even if their physiological triage scores don't necessarily mandate they need to be seen quickly. That said, fever, 12-year-old, immediately less worried.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And then some of the other things which are potentially age-related, a back pain. A 2-year-old is very unlikely to present with back pain, so that's probably worth just making sure you know what's going on there. And sometimes feeding issues, you want to know what's happening, especially in the really young infant.
Absolutely, feeding problem, 2 weeks old or 5 days old, you know, what we need more information there. Has anybody considered checking a blood sugar level? When did they last feed? You know, they're dependent on those calories.
And these are all things you don't want to be finding out if you get really busy 2.5 hours down the line.
Absolutely.
Something you should have definitely known about. So there's a few red flags. There's also a few things that I think are really early interventions or quick wins. So one of the things that we're discussing before we did this was the child who has mental health problems or deliberate self-harm. They don't want to be spending a lot of time giving the same story over and over and again. There may be better people to get involved in that type of patient earlier on. And so you want to be getting to those notes quite quickly to find a background history.
That's right. You can also potentially practice our role in terms of early identification of life and limb threatening illness, and then appropriately getting these guys plugged in early with child and adolescent mental health services, rather than a junior doctor maybe going through everything, you know, developmental history, school, etc., etc., beyond the HEDS assessment, only for them to have to do it again an hour or so later with the CAMS doc. Of course, the flip side is where we're actually in a position of expertise as PEM doctors. Perhaps we might see an infant, a newborn, who's come in with a presenting complaint of rash, and actually we're arguably in a position to be able to recognise that rash as a benign neonatal rash, appropriately reassure and discharge, whereas one of our more junior colleagues may panic somewhat at seeing that if they're particularly inexperienced.
Excellent. So it's using your skills to the best of their ability. So the next thing is about poor information, where you just really need to either look at the child or get some more info to work out what's going on. There's a particular UK way of coding, which is called personal problem. So that the child may have anything, but if the Ward Clark is a little embarrassed about the condition, or actually doesn't want to publicly identify that there's been an issue with Jenna Taylor, etc., will write personal problem. And the difficulty for us is that could be a whole spectrum of disease, from the twisted testicle, which is a surgical emergency, to something which is extremely minor and might actually be something as simple as a potential urinary tract infection, etc. Any other kind of examples of where you just want more info?
No, absolutely. So another personal problem, because it's sensitive at the reception desk, would be PV bleeding. That's something you might want to know about in a child of childbearing age, as it were, because that could be potentially catastrophic.
And sometimes what will be written is only abnormal movements. Again, that could be a whole constellation of issues, and the child might be completely fine and just needs a quick eyeball or it could be something more serious, such as an actual seizure, to be honest.
Yeah, especially when they book in with the present tense and it says fitting. I've certainly flippantly joked, are they fitting? And no, they were actually fitting.
So yeah, keep your eyes and wits about you. The next bits and pieces are the unclear or weird coding. And Gareth, you've got some fantastic examples here.
Yeah, absolutely. So fall from building, I've often found quite unhelpful. Like to know about the shape and size of the building. Anything from a little Tykes Wendy house to a skyscraper has been coded as fall from building. Shoebox hit head, that was a good one. That caused me a little bit of angst. A kid had had a shoebox fall on his head, and he'd been knocked out and had some significant external injuries, to the extent that I didn't really buy the history, and I was starting to have safeguarding concerns until Dad showed me a picture of the shoebox, and it was what I would call a chest of drawers, which they, in fairness, used to keep their shoes in under the stairs, and he had unfortunately pulled it down on himself.
Ah, that's one to look out for. We often see tash instead of rash, often causes a wry smile. But then you do need to confirm that the rash isn't anything particularly serious. So that was a really quick run around some of our experiences of coding and looking at the board on the admission screen. Gareth, have you got any kind of final thoughts or hints and tips?
No, I guess over time you'll develop a knack for reading your own screen, whiteboard, or whatever you utilise in your emergency department, and you'll start to speak that language. You'll soon develop an aptitude for spotting the kids that you might want to find out more about. My personal favourites lately have been the joint pain group, who seem to present with joint pains and find themselves in the minor injuries stream with actually no history of traumatic injury whatsoever. We've picked up a few osteomyelitis and septic arthritis that way. You can also potentially open up a real can of worms with the guys presenting with investigations requested, or blood test requested, or second opinion requested. And they're often ones where a senior eye will potentially avert disaster.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. So, and just leading on from that, actually, a lot of the things we've been talking about is the paediatric emergency clinician in the kind of the organisers or department coordinator role. And Gareth and I will be coming back with another video cast in the future about kind of our top tips for when you're in charge of the shop floor and how you manage things effectively. So that's bye from me now.
And bye from me. Thanks.
Speak to you soon.